Well, friends, we're finishing up a series of messages on prayer, and I invite you to turn to a single verse in the Bible, Psalm 2, verse 8. Psalm 2, verse 8, page 769, page 769. And then I also would like you to turn to Matthew chapter 4, Matthew chapter 4, so keep a finger in Psalm 2. And then look at Matthew chapter 4. That's page 1376. And we're going to be looking at that in other verses a little later, so maybe stick a bulletin in that place, Matthew 4, page 1376, for easy access later on. But this one verse from Psalm 2, and we're going to talk about it in the message, especially at the beginning. We hear these words, ask me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Beloved in Christ, reading is a good activity, isn't it? Increase your brain power, get information, exercise your imagination. I thought about the sermon title I came up with for this morning's sermon, After the Fact, Prayer and the Mission Work of the Triune God, and it reminded me of the activity of reading, especially when I was a young boy. I got to thinking of how I liked to read certain books back then. Some read to me, like the Bopsy Twins, remember? Anyone? You can raise your hand if you remember, sure. Others I read myself, like all those Hardy Boys adventures. Yeah. I would never read a Nancy Drew, but my sister did, and she politely informed me that it took only one girl to solve her mysteries. It took two boys, Frank and Joe, to solve theirs. What does that tell you? She said. Still never read a Nancy Drew book. Who read a Nancy Drew book? Yeah, a lot of you. Most of all, I remember the activity of reading Encyclopedia Brown books. Anyone? Encyclopedia Brown. When my teacher told us we could do a reading activity, those were the books in the back of the classroom that were scarfed up by a lot of us. Encyclopedia Brown, the self-proclaimed boy detective, solved mysteries and even helped his dad, the police chief, solve his cases. Anyone remember what Encyclopedia Brown's real first name was? Leroy. Right, Leroy Brown, baddest boy in town, huh? But it was the titles of those books I thought about when I saw my own sermon title plastered across the bulletin, Prayer and the Mission Work of the Triune God. It sounds just like an Encyclopedia Brown title. Encyclopedia Brown and the Case of the Secret Pitch. And what an activity, though, reading those clever little books. What an activity before us today, friends. Prayer and the Mission Work of the Triune God. It's a bit of a mystery to figure it out. This activity that is God's activity, mission work, that He lets us interact with, participate in, and hop on. How does this particular activity of God's begin? Last week, we were reminded that we ought to be people who begin with prayer. Ayla Hollabeek taught us that cadence that people in the military learn so well when they sign up. Left, 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 right, left. And we said, look what comes first. Look how this activity begins with the left foot. And we said the left foot of that cadence is prayer. Begin with prayer. But what were we talking about? We were talking about the big activity of walking with God. How do we best walk with God? Left, 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 right, left. We began with walk with God. We begin it best when we begin with prayer. Prayer, prayer, prayer work, prayer. We begin with prayer as we walk with God and do the work, the activity, the service that He puts before us. Today, we saw what that activity is in our scripture passage. One verse of God's word. Ask me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. Here, God the Father is speaking to God the Son in this psalm, the Lord's Almighty One, anointed one, his son. And we see really what we have been hinting at this entire series. This entire series of four. We can talk about walking with God. We can talk about how that always begins with prayer. And the work for God, the service for God comes next. Prayer, work, prayer, work. But today we learn something about God's starting point, his begin point. God begins his activity here with making nations his inheritance, with making the ends of the earth his possession. That's his begin point. That's his starting line, you might say. If you want to walk with God, which I know we all do, you need to begin where God began. God's starting point is to reclaim the nations as his inheritance. Reclaim people to the ends of the earth as his inheritance, as his possession. People are fallen into sin. We know that. All of us are. And so God's new work after that fall into sin starts with getting his people back. That's the begin point for God. And so truly walking with God, a journey that begins with prayer and moves to work or service, then prayer, work. When you're truly walking with God, you begin with prayer. But even before that, you begin with joining him as he reclaims his inheritance, as he reclaims his possession. That's where he begins. And when we walk with him, we begin at the same place with the same desire, the same goal, to be a part of this mission work of the triune God. It's where we begin. And the first thing we do to begin there is pray. No less than the triune God models this for us. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the triune God, the one God in three persons, all three persons of the Trinity, model this prayer-first model for us. This verse is the Father commanding his Son to pray. To pray first. Even the Son of God is expected to begin with prayer. How does the verse say it? Ask me. That's the Father talking. Ask me, in other words, pray to me. Who's he talking to? The Son. Verse 7, right before verse 8, I will proclaim the Lord's decree. He said to me, you are my Son. Today, I've become your Father. So we have the Father and the Son in the conversation here, and then we have the command. The Father commands the Son to pray. He says, ask me, pray to me, and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. Now, when you and I put our trust in Jesus, we came to believe in Jesus. We believe that Jesus entered into us mysteriously, miraculously. The Son of God is in us, united to us. So when the Father speaks here to the Son, he's also speaking to us. And what does he say to us? He commands us, ask me. Ask of me. The triune God's first order of business is to reach the world, is to give the world good news, is to reclaim his own, and he tells us, when you begin there with me, you begin by prayer, by praying to me. Ask of me. That's how we begin. We don't try to figure out some newfangled method for reaching out and then ask God, well, can you bless this, God? No, we pray first. That's how mission work begins. God the Father says it right here. Ask of me. Think about what that means for your motivation for missions. Your motivation. Well, my motivation, well, we're supposed to reach a lost world. That's part of it, but your first and foremost motivation then, where you begin, is your love for Jesus and for knowing that the nations of the world, they're his. They're not the devil's. That's a big difference. I love Jesus, and I want to claim the world for him. He deserves having yet another person to magnify his name. He is worthy of receiving praise from every single person. He went through the agony of bearing our punishment for sin. He deserves the reward of every last person, every nation delivered to him. I am motivated to reach a neighbor who does not know Jesus out of love for Jesus, rather than they really are rotten people. They need Jesus. No, it's motivated by my love for Jesus. I love Jesus. He deserves this mission work from me. It's a subtle difference, but let's not stop there. My motivation to join God's mission work is love for Jesus, but what's the method of this mission? Ultimately, the verse tells us. We've said it over and over. The Father tells us, ask! Ask of me. There's your method, the primary method. Primary method of reaching the world for Christ is by praying. Praying. As John DeVries writes, intensive, passionate, specifically directed prayer. We must pray for specific neighbors, specific fields, specific people groups, specific states and nations, asking the Father to deliver each one to his Son as his rightful inheritance for the redemptive work he did on the cross. John DeVries. And of course, his specifically directed prayer was always towards India. Mission India. That's where you begin, though. That's where we all begin. The Father says it, commands it. Begin. Begin with prayer. Begin by asking the Father to deliver the nations to the world of the world to the Son. What does that mean for you? What does that mean for your mission work to reach the world? You start by praying. You start by asking. You pray for missionaries. You pray for those on the front lines, as we say. That's what all of us are called to. That's how we all begin. Following the Father's command, ask of him, pray. DeVries again writes, praying Christians take seriously the Father's command, ask of me and I will make the nations your inheritance. They know their prayer work in God's cause is just as important as the work of those who are directly involved, the missionaries on the front line. That makes every Christian, in fact, he writes, a full-time missionary. The work of missions is done at home by you who pray for missions, who pray for neighbors regularly. The Father commands us. What about the Son? We said it's the work of the triune God. Well, the Son demonstrated that same prayer-first strategy. We mentioned that truth in passing last week. Today we're going to dig a little deeper into it. Jesus started with prayer. That's how important it was. Think about that. The one you'd think would never need to pray. I mean, he and the Father were one. Why should prayer have to begin anything the Son of God sets his mind to? But there he is, praying. How does Luke 5:16 say it? One of my favorite verses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Luke in his gospel makes sure we know that this big secret, Jesus prayed a lot. Three times, more than that, but we're going to look at three times. This is so clearly evident as the starting point for big things in Jesus' ministry. Do a little Bible study now. You're already at that first one. If you have your bulletins in there, Matthew chapter 4, page 1376, a little Bible study on Jesus praying, okay? Matthew chapter 4, page 1376, first three verses. Hopefully you have it by now. Matthew chapter 4, 1376. Jesus has just been baptized by John the Baptist, is just about to begin his earthly ministry. Look what we read there, Matthew chapter 4. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Now, friends, what do you think accompanied a 40-day fast? What do you think he was doing in that 40 days besides fasting? Praying. Clearly, it was prayer. And clearly, Jesus was getting ready to face off against Satan. If you check out Luke chapter 4 now, the same story, page 1463, turn there, page 1463, Luke chapter 4. It's the companion story of this, 1463. You'll see that Jesus was full of the what? Holy Spirit during this time. This was no accident. Jesus was being prepared by the Spirit for this encounter with Satan. Three temptations. These temptations. What was happening? Jesus was beginning his ministry with prayer. Again, as John DeVries writes, as perfect as Jesus was, his human nature, remember, Jesus is fully human and fully divine. His human nature demanded that he prepare by praying. Jesus began his warfare against the devil with prayer in complete dependence on his Father. And this was 40 days of prayer work, followed by an encounter with the devil that we can only imagine must have taken more strength, more power, more energy, more effort than we can fathom. In fact, even with all that prayer as preparation, when the encounter was over, Jesus was so exhausted. Let me say that again. Jesus was so exhausted that angels came and attended to him. Jesus himself began with the work of prayer. Another one now. Let's go to Luke chapter 6. If you went to Luke 4, you're just a couple pages away. Luke chapter 6, page 1468. Check this out. What big event is happening now here in verse 12? Verse 12, the event of Jesus selecting his disciples. What does God's word tell us? Luke 6, verse 12. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to what? Pray. To pray. And spent the night praying to God. The entire night, friends. And when daylight came, verse 13, when morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them whom he designated apostles. And again, you might think, well, why did Jesus, of all people, need to do that? Jesus was perfect, sinless, and surely knew the Father's will here. And even with prayer, one of those disciples, well, eventually betrayed him. What did he need to pray for? Perhaps it was to show us what needs to come first, to show us. But mysteriously, even Jesus prayed that the Father's will would be revealed to him concerning who his disciples would be, asking for the Spirit of God to guide him in his disciple selection process. Jesus began with prayer. Jesus demonstrated it for us. And of course, how about the Garden of Gethsemane? Garden of Gethsemane, Matthew 26. Turn there, Matthew 26, page 1417. 1417, Matthew 26. Jesus is overwhelmed, comes to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray, to meet with his Father in heaven. And you know what he's going to ask him? Is this the only way? Verse 39, 26, 39. He's going to ask him, is this the only way to make sure his will also is in alignment with his Father's? Also, verse 39, so right in the middle there, 39, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. But as you will. Luke 22, verse 44, another telling of the same story. Luke 22, page 1503. We're bouncing back and forth between Matthew and Luke. And we're eventually going to go to Acts as well in a minute. Luke 22, verse 44. It's the same story, retold. We read that Jesus prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. This, friends, was the work that readied him for the cross. This praying was the work, was the beginning of Jesus' atoning work. It's the first part of it that culminated on the cross. Jesus was praying like crazy, we might say. But all the while, he was showing us also that our mission work always begins with prayer. Where did Jesus go next? Empowered, strengthened, ready for the cross. He now, as you know, with a calm serenity, was able to stand before Pilate. And then while on the cross, he was able to pray for forgiveness of those who nailed him to the cross. They know not what they do. Forgive them. And of course, his atoning work, he accomplished it until those words, it is finished. He began it all, though, the day before with prayer. Jesus demonstrated that prayer is how we begin. He demonstrated that his whole life through. Prayer is how we begin. All right, what about the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit empowers us for the mission work of God. Empowers us for the mission work of God. Let's take a look at that a second. Now we'll go to Acts. Like I said, 1549 is Acts 1, page 1549, Acts chapter 1. And if you know this passage, you know this is Jesus' ascension. He's given his disciples and others his last inspirational talk. And what does he say in verse 4? Verse 4, middle of the verse, he says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised. But wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So Jesus tells them not to get out there and tell people about him. Not yet. You'd think he would. Excitement of the resurrection having just happened a few weeks before. Not yet. Wait for it. Wait for the gift. Wait for the Holy Spirit. And what do you think they do while they are waiting? Verse 12. Look at verse 12. Verse 12. Then the apostles returned to Jerusalem. And in verse 13, when they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Friends, 11 of them, plus a bunch of women and relatives of Jesus. And then verse 14, what do we read? Let's read that first part out loud all together. Verse 14, first part of it, say it together. Acts chapter 1, verse 14, first part. They all joined together constantly in prayer. They all joined together constantly in prayer. 10 days. We're going to pray first, they say. Wait for the Holy Spirit. And boy, when that Holy Spirit came 10 days later at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit empowered them for their mission work, the likes of which had never been seen before. These disciples, these followers, started a movement that completely changed the world. They did signs and wonders and miracles, and that small early group of believers became a church that went across the world. Many of them were martyred, but still, that church went across the world. Today, we don't hear this very often, but we need to be encouraged. Of 8 billion people in the world today, 8 billion people, 32.3% are Christians. That's 2.6 billion people. What did those 11 disciples and a bunch of women and relatives of Jesus do again for those 10 days? They prayed fervently because they knew the Holy Spirit was coming and on the way. They knew the key, you see, to unlocking the resources of heaven. They knew it was prayer. The Holy Spirit would see to it. Of course, that same key of prayer, listen, also unlocks the gates of Satan's resistance to the spread of the gospel. But what did God tell us? Matthew 16, on this rock, Peter, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. Beloved, you've got the keys of the kingdom. Use them. Pray. Unlock the resources of heaven. Pray. The resistance of hell is no match when we pray. Ephesians 3:20. God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. God, you see, the triune God who commands, demonstrates, and empowers all of us, tells us, pray, pray, pray. The letter F, fail. The only way each of us can fail here, get an F on this task, on this activity, is to not pray. No one likes fail. No one likes Fs. You get an F on your report card, you don't even want to bring it home to show mom and dad, although it's all electronic now, so they'll see it. No one wants an F. So you know what G is? We're not going all the way to Z, don't worry. All right, we're stopping at G. G stands for go time. Go time. It's go time. Every time I put on this lavalier microphone right here, it's got a pack, it goes around my neck and ear, I flip a little switch. And that little indicator light goes to red first. It starts out red. And I watch and I wait for 2 seconds, and I make sure that it goes to green right after the red. And I always, and the elders can back me up, sometimes they hear me, sometimes they don't. I know they did this morning because I made sure they did. I say, green. Oh, yeah, green. Green means go. It's go time. So I know I can get up here and be heard. Green means go. Well, it's green today, every day. It's time to go. Go time. Time to go. God's mission work is waiting. I talked to an older lady recently who had a great relationship with her next-door neighbor, 2 condos next to each other. But then something happened, and her neighbor has told her in no uncertain terms that he no longer ever wants to speak to her again. He's written her off completely. She's tried to re-engage with him. Smiles, waves, notes, says good morning. Nothing. I told her, you know what you need to be doing. Go back to the beginning. Begin again with prayer. Begin again with prayer. That man needs your prayers to shine a spotlight and direct God right to him. It's go time. It's go time, beloved church. We go to pray. Let's do it now. Triune God, prayer and the mission work of the Triune God. It's your work, God. It's your work, Triune God. And you let us join you in making the nations your inheritance, the ends of the earth your possession. They're all yours for the taking. So teach us, encourage us, command us, inspire us, cause us to begin again with prayer, the first work we do. Put us on our knees in prayer for your mission, far away, for those missionaries and nearby, for people we know personally. And then in our prayers, we pray, make it clear to us when it's time for us to go ourselves to the front line and tell someone ourselves the good news of Jesus, all for Jesus' glory, all because Jesus loves us, all for his glory, all for his inheritance, all for his possession. All God's people.